2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to the younger pastor Timothy, and we come in at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
But we're thinking about hearing God's word tonight. But I want to rewind back to when I was really little. When I was really little, I was used to church. We went to church, you know, twice a week. I was used to the church service, the classic church service. We'd always arrive as a family around the same sort of time. We'd always sit around the same sort of spot in the church building. And I knew what to expect from the front. You know, there'd be a bit of a welcome. There might be a few notices. There'd be a song. There'd be some readings. There'd be another song. There'd be some prayers. There'd be another song. Maybe another reading. There'd be a sermon. But out of all of the things that make up a service, the one thing that I would have quite happily seen reduced or perhaps even removed was the sermon. When you're 6, 7 years old, it gets to the sermon, oh, it just feels like an eternity. The rest of it's all right because, you know, some guy gets up and says something for a bit for 5 minutes, and he gets down and you sing, you stand up for about 3 minutes, and then you sit back down. There's variety, isn't it, to the rest of the service, a bit of this and a bit of that. But a sermon, it's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes sometimes. When you're 6, 7, 8 years old, a sermon feels like an eternity. I swear, when I was little, sitting through a sermon, I think I could feel myself aging. I could feel the wrinkles developing on my face. That's what I felt like. If I was coming in here 6 or 7, I'd want to sit over that side, and I'd be hoping that someone had just painted the wall so I could watch the wall dry. I would have rather do that when I was 6 or 7. My mum used to let us draw during the sermon. She'd give us bits of paper and give us a pencil. I'd just fidget like crazy if she didn't give me that. So everyone would be facing, you know, this way. I'd be on my knees facing the other way, drawing. And back in those days, I was really interested. All I really cared about was soldiers and battles and knights and things like that. So my mum would give me this sheet and I'd start drawing, you know, once the sermon started. And you should have seen some of these drawings. I think my parents actually quite worried about me because they were just the most gruesome battle scenes you've ever seen. You know, someone getting run through with a spear over here, someone's limb getting chopped off over here. My, you know, red ink was my favorite. And then, you know, at the end of the service, I'd come running up to my mum all proud of this picture, and I'd show her what I'd drawn, and she'd say, "Oh, right, so what has that got to do with the passage?" That was our one stipulation. You can draw, but it has to have something to do with the passage. And I know for a fact that at least once or twice, I just sat for a bit, and I just pointed to a random knight on my picture, and I said, "That one's Jesus." And I didn't get away with it more than once, probably. But my mum would let me draw because I would just fidget like crazy. I found it really hard to sit through a sermon. And actually, you know, as I got older, that didn't come easily, to sit through a sermon. There's a sense to which, actually, even now, I think sometimes sitting through a sermon is quite hard. And it'd be really interesting, wouldn't it, if we had an anonymous survey here at Gunnersbury, everybody that comes through those doors, you know, all across the ages, if we had an anonymous survey, and we said, out of all of the things that we do as part of the service, the songs, the readings, the interviews, all of these things, what thing would you most like to see reduced or removed? How often do you think the sermon would be the one that's chosen? If it was anonymous, if there was no one who would know what you chose. I certainly know what the 6-year-old, 7-year-old version of myself would have said. Get the sermon right out. I could handle a service if the sermon was gone. But why do we have sermons? Have you ever wondered? Is it just habit? Is it just that we've always done it this way? There's a bit in every church service where, you know, one person gets up and speaks and everybody else sits and listens. Is it just tradition? Why do we do that? We're going to think a little bit about that question and hopefully just answer a little bit tonight. We're going to start the conversation anyway. I'm not going to give you all the answers, but we're going to start the conversation. What's the purpose of a sermon? What are we actually doing when we have sermons? As Tim mentioned earlier, we just finished our series looking at the church, what the church is. Now we're thinking about what the church's priorities should be, what a church should be doing. Top priorities for a church. We're a family, we're a body, we're a bride, but what should we be doing? And today we're thinking about hearing God's word. It should be right at the top of our list of priorities as a church, hearing God's word. And off the bat, you probably know, don't you? I think most of us here would say, yeah, we know hearing God's word is important. Especially if you've grown up in a Christian home, or you're used to Sunday school and things like that. You know we should read our Bibles. We're used to thinking that. We're used to hearing that from other people. Doesn't mean we always take it as seriously as we should, does it? Doesn't mean that in practice we actually do read our Bibles, that we do pay attention to them. There's so many other things in the world that can feel more attractive, more useful, more urgent than spending time in God's word. We can too often treat hearing God's word, the same way we can treat, the need to do more exercise. You can see the appeal of it. You're over here, exercise is over here. You know it would be good for you, and you'd love to be doing more of it, but you don't love it so much that you're going to change anything to make it happen. This is good, but it's not so good that I'm going to stop doing this and instead do this. Too often, our appreciation of God's word falls into that kind of category. But what we're going to look at tonight is we're going to see how essential God's word is to the Christian. How just central it is to absolutely everything, and how central it is to the life of a church. We're told again and again and again that a Christian should be feeding from God's word regularly. And as we look at this whole theme of hearing God's word, the first thing we're going to look at is the importance of hearing God's word. Why is it so important? And we could go pretty much anywhere in the Bible for this. So I've just picked up a few little verses. We're going to touch on a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3, but we're going to jump around a little bit more. And I've got some verses on the screen. And the first one we're going to look at, when we think about hearing God's word, this is what Jesus says about it. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, and he's starving hungry, and the devil says, well, you can do it. Turn those rocks into bread. And Jesus says this back to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just think about what he's saying there. That the ordinary things of life, food, shelter, comfort, those things that we would say, we have a sort of, all the human rights, we have a human right to this, a right to this, a right to this. All of those things, Jesus is saying, those are secondary to our need for God's word. And when he's quoting this, when Jesus says that to Satan, he's quoting Deuteronomy. God originally says this to the people, people of Israel in Deuteronomy, and they're wandering around in the wilderness, and they're constantly reliant on what God gives them in terms of food, in terms of water, in the wilderness. And in that context, totally reliant on whatever food God gives them, literally to survive, in that context, God says to them, my word is more important. My word is the main thing you need. God's word is infinitely more powerful than we realize. And there's so much more to it than just black text on a white page. I mean, just think for a moment, how did God create the world at the beginning of everything? By what means did he do it? He spoke, didn't he? Think about John 1. We've been looking at John recently. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Think about some of the things we just sang in that song. God's word is life itself. In God's world is absolutely everything. What was it? The purpose, things like food, breath, health into existence. God's word was the thing that did that. That was the spark that started it all off. It came before everything else, and it's what we need more than anything else. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes to Christians who need to grow in their faith, and he tells them to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Bible, like newborn babies, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We so easily forget just how much we need God's word in our lives regularly. And not just bits of God's word. For a while I was signed up to an app that sent you a verse a day by text. And I met people that weren't Christians that got that, because it was just an encouragement to them. They just liked it. And those things are great, but we need more than that, don't we? Just a verse a day. 2 Timothy, we had it read earlier. Chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, not just the bits you like. Not just the bits you find easy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful, profitable, essential for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I hope we've been reminded, just as we begin, just how much we need God's word as Christians here at Gunnersbury. For us, for everything, it should be the starting point, God's word. If you imagine, I'm going to use this picture a little bit today, of a tree. If you imagine a tree as being the Bible ministry, the kind of anytime anybody teaches anybody else at Gunnersbury, that's what this Bible tree, this tree is. If you imagine it as a tree, the word of God is the soil into which everything is planted. Without the soil, there's nothing. Everything is planted in that soil. We can't grow, we can't develop. Nothing can happen of any value in the Christian faith unless it is rooted in God's word. But there's more ways than one to hear God's word, aren't there? We're thinking about hearing God's word. It's not just about one person getting up and talking. There's so many different ways to hear God's word, aren't there? The American preacher Tim Keller talks about it in three levels. So I've kind of taken his idea and I've expanded on it. Three levels to hearing God's word, the ways in which you think about our church, us as a church family, the different ways in which we hear God's word. If you think about that tree, you've got God's word, which is the soil. And then you've got level one, which is chatting the word. That's kind of like the leaves. Earlier on, and this is just an informal kind of Christians chatting to each other, and someone throws out a Bible verse or a Bible truth. I was a few days ago chatting to a friend, a Christian friend, and we were talking about workload and how jobs can ask a lot of someone. And they can be all consuming and all demanding. And you can think about, you know, perhaps we're thinking a little bit about Debbie Flood and thinking about just how much being a sports person, how much your sport can demand of you. And we're just thinking about jobs, and so many jobs do demand an awful lot of us. And he has a job a little bit like that. And as we were chatting, it occurred to us, 1 Corinthians 6, anything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And it was just a verse. I can't remember which one of us said it, but one of us just threw it out there. Yeah, we shouldn't be mastered by our jobs, though, should we? We can be committed to them, but we shouldn't be mastered by them. And it's just a little verse that just popped up in conversation. Not long ago, people were playing board games in there, and somebody got wronged, or they just lost. But somebody at one point just said, oh, yeah, turn the other cheek, all that stuff. Somebody back there said it. That's a Bible verse. Turn the other cheek. And I know that it was kind of said in jest, but that's a Bible verse. That's a Bible truth. Sometimes it'll be a verse that's quoted. Sometimes it'll just be a Bible truth that's kind of paraphrased, but is a Bible truth that is just thrown out there in conversation. In our conversations, in our lives, we're always sharing God's word with each other, aren't we? Conversationally. That's what should be happening in a church community. It's kind of just an organic, informal way that God's word is out there in our lives all the time. And it's such an encouragement. How often have you been encouraged by someone just quoting a verse just in conversation? And it's been so apt. It's been so, God's really used it. And we really miss that if we're not part of a Bible-based church. And we really miss that when we're not in a Christian community. If we spend extended time away from the Christian community, we start to miss that. Just the Bible just being chatted between Christians. That's level one. And we need more than that, don't we? We need more than that. And that's just the leaves on the tree. If you have tree as sort of ministry, then that's just the leaves. Level two is a bit more formalized. It's a bit like the branches. This is speaking the word. And this is quite a broad category. It could be family Bible study time, when one person is kind of speaking to the rest of the family. It's been decided it's going to happen. It's kind of arranged. But it could be spur of the moment, actually, but it normally involves one person leading it. But it's broad. It could be the discipleship groups. They'd fall into this category. Or the short talk at English conversation class, the talk at the beginning of a prayer meeting, something like that. That's sort of level two. But the most important way that we hear God's word is level three, which is preaching. It's like the trunk of the tree that everything else kind of comes out from. One person opening up a Bible passage and explaining it to a group of people who listen to what that passage has to say. It's kind of like the staple of the diet, if you want. The core thing from which everything else sprouts. And if the preaching, and this affects everything else, your kind of level ones and level twos will be different according to what the level three is like. If your preaching isn't particularly Bible-based, then everything else that you start doing won't be particularly Bible-based. If one is solid and faithful, then the others will be solid and faithful. They all kind of tie in with each other. So if you have sort of sermons that are really, really high on entertainment, but not really rooted in the Bible, then actually that will pass on to the other levels as well. And so there are various different ways to hear God's word. Preaching is sort of the staple way, and we're going to come onto that in a minute. But what I want us to see just on this first point is those roots. What are they dug into? God's word. That's what we're really doing. Anytime we open up the Bible, anytime a Bible verse is quoted and it's, you know, not taken out of context and just twisted, but is a real Bible truth that's shared, we're hearing God's word to us. That's what's happening. So I want us just to stop and challenge ourselves a little bit, because we take this book for granted so much, don't we? With the Reformation sort of anniversary celebrations, there's been a fresh opportunity to be reminded how many people have suffered for us to have the Bible in our own language. But we take this book for granted. So just think for a moment. When you come to the Bible, what are your expectations? When you go to discipleship group and you know the Bible's going to be opened, what are your expectations? Do you expect to hear the God of creation speak to you? Or do you expect to have sort of perhaps a kind of intellectual debate? You come with an idea that you want to kind of share. When you're at POW, you come to POW on a Friday night and you kind of wish it was a games night, not a Bible night. Do you realize you're coming and you're going to hear God, the God that created you, speak to you through his word? What are our expectations when we come to the Bible? We come to it so often in so many different ways, and it just becomes so normal and so mundane, and we forget the God of the universe is speaking to us. So that's the first question I want to kind of challenge us all on, myself included. What are our expectations when we come to the Bible? When we know we're going to come to the Bible, do we expect to hear God speak to us? Second thing is, when we think about the Bible, do we know that we need it? The way the Bible talks about it, the way Jesus talks about it. If someone was to look at your life, would they see an obvious need, an obvious desire for more of God's word? Would they see in the way you use your time a love for God's word? Or would they hear you say, yeah, I know the Bible is important, but see in your life a bit of a disregard for it? We can't overstate the importance of God's word in the life of a Christian, can we? We really can't. But the main way, we're going to come onto this now, the main way that God has chosen to get his word across in the life of a church like this is through preaching. And so, after the importance of God's word, secondly, we're just looking at this, the importance of preaching. As we look in the Bible, we see time and time and time again, preaching is taken really, really seriously. It's given real importance, even in Jesus' ministry on earth. When we think about Jesus in the Gospels, we might remember the big dramatic stories, like the calming of the waves and people coming back from the dead. And, you know, there's some incredible stuff. There's some dramatic stuff. But it's interesting when you look in Mark 1, Jesus has been teaching and Jesus has been doing miracles. And the thing that people say is, who is this guy? He teaches with authority. Oh, and also the miracles thing. It's the teaching they're most impressed by, they're most amazed by. There's one bit in Mark 1, Jesus arrives and he says, the first thing we see him do after his baptism is he preaches, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. And he talks about the importance of preaching in his own ministry. But later on in that same chapter in Mark 1, he spent a whole extended time healing people that have been brought to him with sort of, you know, demons and sickness and all kinds of different things. And he heals these people. And he gets up early the next day and he says to disciples, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Jesus didn't come straight to earth and go just straight to the cross. He had a ministry. He taught, he preached, he did miracles that backed up what he taught. But it was a message that he had. And he showed how to preach as well. We're going to look at that a little bit more next week. But Jesus sets the pattern. Preaching is important. The importance of preaching for the growth of a healthy church is really, really emphasized. And it's really emphasized in this bit of 2 Timothy, isn't it? You might remember when we looked at 2 Timothy not long ago that Timothy is a young pastor, and Paul is writing to him about how his church should grow, what he can do to help his church to grow. But just look at the words that he uses, the language that he uses here. Paul, writing to a younger pastor, Timothy. And just think if somebody said this to you. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But just look at that language. He doesn't say, Tim, you're trying to figure out how to get your church to grow. Okay, well, try preaching. Give it a go. What do you lose? Give that a go and we'll chat about it later. I mean, it couldn't be further away from that, could it? I mean, if someone said this to me, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, do not leave this building. I'd be looking for a place to hunker down for the right night right now. I'd be figuring out what would be more comfy, to sleep here or sleep up there. Think about the seriousness with which Paul speaks to Timothy here. If you want your church to grow, preach God's word to them. Christopher Ashe, you might remember him, he spoke at our church weekend away a couple of years ago, and he says this about preaching in his book called The Priority of Preaching. And he says it's called the trunk of the tree, if you like, because he says this, every culture knows what it is to sit and listen to an authoritative human being speak. That is not culturally specific. You do not need to be literate to do that. You do not need to be educated to do that. You do not need to be fluent or competent in debate to do that. Every human being can do that. And that's what preaching is. So preaching is the trunk of the tree. It's kind of that main staple of the Christian teaching diet, if you want. And so it has to be something that we take seriously as a church. It has to be. You know, when I was younger, if you'd really pushed me on it, my dad was a preacher, but if you'd really pushed me on it, I probably would have acted or maybe even said that I reckon preachers just got together at one point and they decided, how can we figure out a way to get up and talk to people for ages? Because they seem to love it. And they've managed to con people into doing it. I always thought sermons were preacher's idea. That's what I thought. But what do we see here? Preaching is God's idea. And we either kick back against that or we click in with it. Whether I'm there listening to a sermon or whether I'm up here giving it, I'm always called to be obedient to the pattern that God has given to us. As a church, we want to be a community of Christians that are as biblical as we can be in absolutely everything, aren't we? And so that means we need to take preaching seriously. We can't be casual about it. So what I want us to do now is I want us to just stop and consider sermons at Gunnersbury, preaching at Gunnersbury. If preaching is the main way that God has given for us to keep getting God's word into our lives, let's challenge ourselves on a few things. Firstly, how much do we underestimate the value of Bible preaching? I know in my life I've spent times when I've assumed I've heard it all, and I've thought, I don't need to go and listen to that. I know what he's going to say. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. Da, 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 da. And I've massively underestimated just the value of having God's word in my life at a time when I'm just sitting and listening, not to somebody up the front speaking, but to God. How much do we undervalue just regular Bible preaching? I don't know what it's like for Tim, but I love it when I can visit another church and just hear a sermon. It's amazing. And I just love sermons now. Now when I'm out and about somewhere and I can just hear another preacher and I can just sit and listen to God's word, I love it. I absolutely love it now. But how much can we underestimate the importance of preaching? Think what I said at the beginning. If there was to be an anonymous survey and everyone was really honest about what bit of a church service they'd most likely see reduced or removed, how close would the sermon get to being your choice? We can so easily underestimate the value, the need for that regular, uninterrupted time in the week when we just sit and listen to God speak to us through his word. But that means we have to work hard at preaching. And so it's not just like, oh, great, I know it's important, so now I've just got to get through it. No, that means that we all need to work hard at making sure sermons, preaching at Gunnersbury is the best it can possibly be. And so there's two parts to that, two big parts. I mean, there's more to it than that, and that's why I'm saying I'm starting the conversation. But there's two parts to that. So if we have that question, how can we make the most of our preaching at Gunnersbury? Well, firstly, preachers. All of us that are preachers here at Gunnersbury, and it's not just me and Tim. Those of us that are preachers here, we have to work hard to be faithful. Think of that tree with its roots in God's word. That's where it starts. We have to work hard at being faithful to God's word. Sometimes a passage will be really, really tricky, and it will take more work than some passages. Sometimes we'll have looked at it recently. Sometimes we haven't looked at it in years. We have to work hard at being faithful because we have to be faithful first. Secondly, we have to work hard to be easy to listen to. We're going to look at this a little bit next week as we think about what a sermon should look like. It's no good, me or Tim, whoever it is, being really, really faithful but being impossible to listen to. We need to work hard at being easy to listen to. That's why Tim and I, we time each other, and we give each other feedback on our sermons. And if we've gone over, then we let each other know, don't we? Not in the service, thankfully. But the next day we say, yeah, you went about 5 minutes over, and you didn't need that last point. You could have condensed that. Da, 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 da. We do try to work hard to be easy to listen to, believe it or not. And lastly, preachers should work hard to be relevant because this is God speaking to us and it should affect change in our lives. We should work hard at being faithful, easy to listen to, but we should work hard at asking the question, so what? What does it mean for people? Given what's going on in the world, given where those people have come from this week, what they're struggling with. So that's what we should be working at. That's what we should be trying to do. But there's two parts to it. There's the whoever's up here speaking and everybody else that's listening. The listeners. If you're listening to a sermon and if you're in a regular habit of listening to preachers at a church, the first thing you should do is demand Bible faithfulness. Demand it. Don't settle for it if people don't open the Bible. Do not settle for it. Because it's not what you need as a Christian. You don't need my opinion, you need God's word. And the more obviously faithful it is to the Bible, the better. The more they say, look at this verse, look at that verse. I'm conscious that as I'm speaking now, this hasn't been a particularly expositional sermon. But demand Bible faithfulness. First, demand Bible faithfulness. Secondly, work hard at listening. We promise we will work hard at being easy to listen. You guys, and myself included, when I'm listening to a sermon, work hard at listening. Figure out what helps me to listen. Do I listen better when I'm sat here as opposed to there? Do I listen better when I'm writing notes, or do I find it easier to listen when I'm doodling? I don't know. But work hard at trying to listen, because this is God speaking to you. Thirdly, expect sermons to change you, because God is speaking to you. Don't think about these things just as an academic exercise, as just a comprehension kind of thing. In Sunday school, so many hands shoot up when you ask a question, and it's all about comprehension. I know the answer. Why does it matter? What difference is it going to make? Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Next week, we're going to think a little bit more about what the content of a sermon should be. What should we expect to look at? What should we expect to hear in a sermon? We're going to look at a sermon that Paul gives in the letter to the Corinthians. But for tonight, I just want us to just think about those first two things. The importance of hearing God's word. Let's not underestimate the importance of hearing God's word. And let's not undervalue the place of preaching in that as God works in our lives to grow us in our faith. I started off thinking about the 6-year-old, 7-year-old me. I think he probably would have been horrified by some of the things that the future Michael Williams would end up saying about listening to sermons. But actually, that little boy was blessed by countless preachers, countless sermons, countless speakers, countless chatters of the word. People that were constantly putting God's word into his life. And through God's grace, through hearing his word, that little boy came to faith, was saved, and now is the joy of sharing God's word with other people. And it is a pure joy. We do sermons at Gunnersbury. We have for a very long time, and I pray we'll keep on doing them for a very, very long time. But hopefully tonight we've had a bit of a reminder why it's so important that we continue to preach the Bible. Because God's word is what people need. Those that don't know him and those that do. Preaching God's word at Gunnersbury, it wasn't the elders' idea. It wasn't Tim's idea. It wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. And so we either click in with the pattern he's given us or we fight against it. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your word once more. We confess that we take it for granted too often. It doesn't have the centrality that it deserves in our lives. Father, we pray that you forgive us for how much we undervalue your word to us. And we pray that you would help us to just absolutely love your word and to absolutely need it every single day, to feed from it, to be deliberate in doing that. We pray for all of us here at the church who share God's word with others, whether it's just in chatting or whether it's speaking or whether it's preaching. We pray that you'd give us faithfulness to your word. Let us never say things that are not true. Help us to be easy to listen to. But Father, above all, we pray that you just give us all a love for your word. So whether we're the ones sharing it or whether we're the ones listening, we work hard expecting you to speak to us through it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.